Hello and welcome to another episode of the Podfic Pals. I am Emu, and today I will be reading Spinning Out Waiting For You by A Moment of Love. This fic is 18,000 words, divided into 13 chapters. It is mature, relationships are Harry Styles / Louis Tomlinson and Niall Horan / Shawn Mendes. A selection of tags include alternate universe magic, familiars, witch Harry Styles, familiar Louis Tomlinson, shapeshifting, alternate universe university, enemies to friends to lovers, baking, pranks and practical jokes, alcohol, explosions, and burns. The summary is as follows. Harry Styles is a year and a half away from graduating with a master's in potions, and he has one huge milestone to reach in his academy career, the matching ceremony. From Halloween night until graduation, matched witches and familiars will have to create a talisman to be a physical representation of their bond. One for the witch and one for the familiar. Most pairings last an entire lifetime. If only it were that simple. Chapter 1. Wednesday, October 19th. Harry Styles sighs in relief the moment he walks through the portal and steps onto campus. Don't get him wrong, he loves the mortal realm, but there's nothing like allowing his magic to spark freely under his skin. He releases the hold he has on it and smiles. Dropping his luggage on the ground, he continues down the path. Obediently, his cheetah print suitcase follows him, hovering just above the ground. It's the end of the fall break at the academy, and midterms are right around the corner, but that isn't what has Harry's nerves in a tight bundle. It's Halloween night. Normally, Harry would be thrilled for the holiday. His room would be decorated with miniature bats floating in the air. A pumpkin spice candle would be lit at all hours of the day, protected with a charm to keep the flame from igniting anything near it, of course. And he would fully lean into the witch stereotype with his wardrobe. This Halloween would be completely different. Since he will be graduating with his master's in potions next school year, it's time for him to be matched with a familiar. Familiars are human-animal hybrids with the ability to help hone a witch's magic for more advanced charms, spells, hexes, and potions. In turn, witches are able to do the same for their familiar. A familiar's ability to turn to their animal form is tied directly to their emotions, with stronger emotions such as joy, anger, and sadness being the most uncontrolled. Harry can't count how many times he's seen a familiar in their human form transform to the animal in a flash over the outcome of a petty argument or feeling stressed about a test. Harry's familiar will be able to help him enhance his effectiveness of his potions, which would be excellent since he's hoping to open a potions and charms shop once he's graduated. From Halloween night until graduation, the witch and familiar will have to create a talisman to be a physical representation of their bond. One for the witch and one for the familiar. Most pairings last an entire lifetime. Although there have been bonds that are formed outside of the boundaries of the academy, like his mother and stepfather, Harry's always heard it's difficult to build those bonds and restart the talismans outside of the academy. Difficult, but not impossible. As Halloween night gets closer and closer, Harry worries that his matching won't go right. Something will happen. Either he won't get along with his familiar, or his familiar won't like him. It's the main reason why his dorm room has remained undecorated. His pumpkin spice candle stash has been untouched so far this fall season, and his favorite starry velvet robe is still in the back of his closet. Jolting himself out of his thoughts, he glances around the lawn at the center of campus. The academic buildings lie in an L shape on one side of the campus, with the dorms making up the other half. The dining hall, recreation building, and library create a triangle just outside of the square. From the air, it almost reminds Harry of a ruin, but he hasn't taken ruin since his first year almost 10 years ago. His smartwatch buzzes with the notification. I see you. Harry rolls his eyes and glances to his right, already feeling his worry move to annoyance. His eyes scan over the small crowd of students soaking up the last few moments of fall break until he sees the one and only Niall Horan tucked up high in a tree. You're an idiot, Harry says once he's at the base of the tree. Niall swings his legs over the branch and leans on one of his knees. You love me anyway. How was break? Gemma keeps pestering me about the shop, and Mum made me promise to tell her about my familiar the moment I know. Niall shrugs. Doesn't sound too bad. As in, she wants me to tell her the moment I know, he points to his luggage. She sent me her scrying mirror that will call her as soon as I say her name. Niall cringes sympathetically. I think she has a countdown set on her phone. Niall's cringe deepens. I can't help with that. He swings his legs and launches himself off of the branch to land on Harry's right. But what I can do is offer to walk with you to the dining hall. Harry snorts and the two fall into step together. You do that almost every night you're not with Sean. At the mention of Niall's on-again, off-again hookup, he blushes. Yeah, well, he might not be around that much. How come? Niall kicks an acorn out of the way. He thinks I'm going to fall for my familiar. Harry pouts. They turn the corner and divert over to their dormitory steps. He waves to the stone gargoyles on either side. Their eyes light up red in recognition. Why does he think that? Niall shrugs half-heartedly, but Harry can see the worry on his friend's face. It's even more evident in the way he fiddles with his fingers and stays quiet on the way up to their suite. They've shared the two-bedroom suite ever since they were 18 and new to the academy. The small living room is large enough for a sofa, one armchair they use as a catch-all and blanket holder during the winter, and a television. During their fourth year, Harry learned how to get almost all of the streaming services to their TV for free. As long as they never change the channel ever, they can watch almost anything they want to. It makes their room extremely popular for when the Great British Bake Off begins. Harry waves his luggage over to his room and he hears his drawers and closet door open as clothes are put away. Why do you think Sean thinks that? He plops down onto the sofa. You were spending fall break together, right? Niall dramatically collapses on the armchair, dislodging a few blankets in the process. I might have brought up how excited I was to get my familiar. Harry stares at him, knowing there's more to the story. He's met Sean a few times, and he doesn't seem like a completely unreasonable person. Sure enough. Then I might have talked about how amazing it was that your mom and stepdad met because of the program, and how cool it would be if that could happen to us, too. Niall. I know, the witch groans and pulls his wand out of his shirt sleeve. He lazily waves it in the air, and a few measly sparks fly out. They're blue in color and droop to the floor. Want me to make a potion for you to make you feel better? If Niall is pulling out the blue sparks, then this must be really bothering him. His friend doesn't answer for a few moments, long enough for Harry to mentally calculate what ingredients he needs and which he actually has on hand. Yeah, go ahead, Niall points his wand toward Harry. But don't make it too strong, because I don't need to feel hungover tomorrow. Harry rolls his eyes and heads for his room. He keeps a small selection of herbs and potion necessities in a trunk under his bed. Not like you haven't before. He easily throws together a simple potion designed to ease Niall's heartache and distract him from his potentially spiraling thoughts. Plus, it tastes like apple cider. Niall has turned on practical magic when Harry comes back in the room, which isn't the best sign that he's doing okay. But he loves Sandra Bullock, so he doesn't say anything when he hands Niall his drink. Before he takes a sip, Niall lets out one last heart-aching thought. I think I like Sean more than he likes me. Harry winces, not really knowing what to say. There's a reason Niall and Sean have been on and off multiple times, and he knows it's not because his friend is wishy-washy in his relationships. I'm sorry, Niall. Niall shrugs, looks down at his drink, and downs it. At least Harry isn't the only one feeling miserable tonight. The trip to the dining hall might have to wait. Chapter 2. Thursday, October 20th. Just like Harry promised, Niall doesn't wake up with a hangover from the potion, and he doesn't seem as heartbroken as he had been. Harry, however, wakes up late and has to rush to stuff his things in his leather satchel. There are dark clouds low in the sky that threaten rain, so he hooks a rain jacket over the crook of his arm as he hurries out of the dorm. He's thankful the dining hall is just by the dorms, as he doesn't have time for a proper sit-down meal. Harry usually wakes up early, takes his time getting ready, and chats with his friends at the dining hall before his first class begins. This morning, all he has time to do is wave to the students lingering at their tables as he hurries to the back of the room where the buffet is still set up. He rushes down the line and throws together a breakfast sandwich. The fruit table at the end of the line catches his eye. He needs an apple to balance out the grease in his sloppily made sandwich. Unfortunately, there's only one green apple, Harry's preferred type, left. His fingers barely graze his pre-selected fruit before it's snatched away. Sorry, witch, the perpetrator says. Harry looks up as the man takes a large bite out of the apple. Juice drips down his chin. But I need this more than you. With a wink and a smirk, the blue-eyed man walks away. His gait is bouncy as he rejoins a table of familiars. They have to be familiars with the way they're clustered together along the edge of the dining hall. Frowning, Harry settles for an orange. He doesn't have time to dwell on his fruit loss. He has to get to his potions class. He scarfs down his breakfast and keeps the orange in his satchel for the break he'll get between potions sections. With this being an advanced class, it's less of a class and more of Harry being glued to his cauldron. The students are left to their own devices, but there's an instructor, a seasoned witch, to help out if needed and give gentle directions. Next year, Harry will be completely on his own. Well, he'll have his familiar. He tries not to think about that, though. When he gets into the classroom, most of his fellow classmates are already by their cauldrons working away. The potions classroom is located in the basement of a tall brick and stone building. They thankfully have windows high on the stone wall to let in some daylight, or else it would feel like a dungeon. Harry had a class in an actual dungeon during his first year, which wasn't his favorite. On a cloudy day, like today, the steam rising from the many cauldrons makes the room hazy. With a building as old as this, there isn't any electricity in this particular room. They have to settle with the light from the many candles floating in the air and the fire underneath the cauldrons. Harry's cauldron is located in the back corner, closest to the wall of bottled and jarred ingredients. After waving to a few of his friends and placing his bag under the table by his cauldron, he falls into his routine. He checks the potion to make sure it's progressing like he thought it should be at this point. It's spent 2 weeks slowly brewing, and there's still two more to go. It has to go through a full moon cycle for it to be the most effective. He is making a potion to help with seasonal allergies. His frequent hay fever would be much appreciative of it. It's one of the more advanced potions in the book, but it doesn't require the help of a familiar to complete. He and his future familiar won't solidify their bond until their graduating ceremony next spring, a year and a half away. As much as he would love to dive headfirst into a much more advanced potion or even develop some of his own, he wants to play it safe until he knows exactly who his familiar is. He can never be too careful. It's not until someone comments about the disappearing light that Harry realizes the dark clouds have now opened up. Rain pours down heavily, so much that water washes down the windows. It makes it difficult to see the shapes of the trees and buildings that lay outside of the building. "I forgot my rain jacket, fucking hell," Harry hears his neighbor say. "You can borrow mine, Lee. What about you?" Harry shrugs and leans down to pull out his jacket from underneath the table. "I've gotten pretty good at the umbrella charm to maintain it for the walk back to the dorms," he explains with a playful smile. Liam glares at him and shoves the jacket away, which only makes Harry cackle at his annoyed expression. "That charm won't do any good with how bad the wind is blowing." Harry glances up at the window and Liam gestures towards it. While he can't tell if the wind is blowing at all, he knows the storm is bad enough that Liam might be right. "Maybe I'll stay down here until it passes." "You'll have to eat at some point, H." Harry leans against the table between their stations and holds out his orange. "I'm all set." "Well, if you're staying, then I'll borrow your jacket. Want me to bring you anything back?" Harry shakes his head and hands over his jacket. Most of the room clears out with the lunch bell ringing in the distance. With a sigh, he glances over to his cauldron, only to see the potion is a light green. At this stage, with all the ingredients he's added today, the potion should be gray. Definitely not green. He curses under his breath and scrambles to grab his journal. He keeps track of every additive, the number of stirs, and every lunar change that's happened since he started the potion. Anything he's done to the concoction, he's made a note of it. He compares his written progress to his potion book and doesn't see where he's messed up. He stares down at the bubbling liquid, willing it to change colors, but magic doesn't work like that, unfortunately. He wishes it did. It would make creating and maintaining potions a lot easier. If having a strong will was enough, then Harry wouldn't have a need for a familiar at all. "It's your orange," he hears to his left. David Dawson, the instructor in charge, walks around to Harry's area. "Wait, really?" "Really." The older witch pulls out his wand and casts a sealant charm over the cauldron. It acts similar to a lid, but allows steam to rise out and the liquid to not overheat. It's a charm that Harry feels foolish for not thinking of doing himself. This type of potion is highly sensitive. If there's anything it doesn't like near it, it'll react accordingly. Add in a few drops of moon water during your next step and it should right itself. David walks away after giving Harry an encouraging smile to check on the other students who have stayed during the lunch break. Harry sighs and makes a note in his journal. He might not have come up with a solution as quickly as David did if the older witch hadn't come over. He really needs to focus on the temperament of his potions now and in the future. He doesn't want all of his work to go bad because of his eating habits. By the time the other students had come back from lunch, Harry's thoughts have now strayed to his ability to think on his feet like David while he and his familiar are on their own. David was able to know what was wrong with Harry's potion from across the room. He has a moment of, "What the hell am I doing?" wondering if he's chosen the right focus for his last stage of school. Well, it's much too late to change his mind now. While everyone around him returns to their stations and checks their potions, Harry has to shake himself out of his stupor. If his potion is sensitive to the presence of an orange, he doesn't think it'll react well to Harry's panic. Chapter 3. Friday, October 21st. By the time late Friday afternoon rolls around, Harry's head is in a tumble of nerves. He's had to mend his potion so often that he doesn't know how potent it will be when it does cure. He's kept looking over to David and his familiar, a puffy black cat, and wondering if he'll have the same sort of bond that he's observed from his mentor. The two seem to be so in sync with one another in a way that he's only seen with his family. It's the sort of bond he wants with his familiar, and he is scared that he won't get it. Maybe his matched familiar will take one look at his mediocre potion skills and reject him. Maybe all they'll need is a look at Harry and say, "Thanks, but no thanks. Can I get a redo?" The idea of not being enough for his matched familiar is devastating. Harry's worked himself into such a tizzy that even his own calming potion isn't helping him. He had a little left over from the other night and he downed it all as soon as he got to his dorm. Niall is still in class, which means Harry is unable to seek comfort from him. He's lying on his bed, staring up at the ceiling with his mind racing through every possible negative outcome. Halloween is only 10 days away. Tomorrow, it'll be single digits, and he's no closer to calming himself down in this moment than he is to writing his potion when he's in class. If a calming potion and deep breaths aren't working, then Harry needs something a bit stronger. He needs to remove himself from the magical realm altogether. 2 hours, one outfit, and a quick walk through the portal later, Harry flashes his ID to a bouncer at a local mortal club. He's been here a few times before, typically with Niall or some of his other friends. The drinks are good and there's plenty of mortals who come to do the exact same thing Harry is, letting off steam. With it being a Friday night, the dance floor is decidedly crowded, as is the bar area. He slides through a few groups of people until he's able to lay one hand on the bar's edge. He waits only a few minutes until a bartender is able to get to him. "What can I get started for you?" The bartender's nose piercing glints in the flashing lights from the dance floor. "An apple shot and a rum and coke." Harry hands over his ID and card to start a tab. He takes the shot once it's passed over to him and takes his rum and coke with him to hover on the side of the dance floor. It's not long until the alcohol starts to make his head feel light and floaty. His body loosens up with every beat of the music and he moves along with it. When the song changes into something he recognizes, he whoops, throwing his hands in the air, and starts to meld into the crowd on the dance floor. This is exactly what he needs. He doesn't need to think further than what drink to order next and who to dance with. Familiars and magic? Not important when compared to the press of bodies against his and the beat pumping in his chest. The drinks get to more than his head, and Harry meanders his way to the bathrooms, bopping and shimming as he does so. The men's room doesn't have a line, thankfully, and he's able to quickly relieve himself. As he's washing his hands, the door slams open and two bodies come pouring in. Oh, he must have forgotten to lock the door. The newcomers pay him no mind as they are completely wrapped up in each other. Harry forgoes paper towels in order to leave as soon as possible when a flash of furry gray catches his attention. His mind sobers up rather quickly as he realizes that the man, the one who's currently being pushed up against the wall, has bunny ears on top of his head. Bunny ears that are twitching and acting very much like actual bunny ears and not like a cute headband. The man is a familiar and he's moments away from transforming. "Shit," Harry mutters. Without thinking, Harry pulls the mortal away from the familiar with a hand on his shoulder. "Hey, that's my fucking boyfriend, you dipshit. Get lost." He's able to move his body in between them. He's built broader than the familiar, and he puffs out his chest to make sure that the mortal absolutely cannot see the familiar. The mortal looks to be almost as wasted as Harry, if not more. He sways on his feet. "Didn't seem like he's very loyal, mate." "I'm not gonna tell you again. Get lost, pal." Harry jerks his chin towards the door and stares the mortal down. Thankfully, the mortal doesn't put up much more of a fight and leaves. Harry turns around to ask the familiar where his witch or his other friends are. He needs to get somewhere safe before he fully transforms into his animal form. But before he can say a word, the familiar speaks up with annoyance dripping in his tone. "What the fuck was that?" Now that they're alone and Harry can fully focus on him, his heart drops when he sees the fruit stealer from the academy glaring at him with his arms crossed over his chest. The familiar's bunny ears twitch in anger. If familiars had the ability to kill with a single look, then Harry would be dead on the spot. When Harry doesn't respond, the familiar huffs and throws a hand toward him. Do you have a reason why you did that, or are you just too drunk to articulate a response? Harry shakes off the shock. No, I'm not too drunk to see that you were 2 seconds away from shifting in front of a mortal. What were you thinking coming here? What were you going to do if you fully transformed? It's not like you knew there was a witch around to make him forget. I'm not a fucking idiot, witch. I know how to take care of myself around mortals. He points to himself. I've been doing it my entire fucking life. Taking a deep breath, the familiar closes his eyes and the bunny ears shrink until they've disappeared altogether. He looks like a regular mortal. A plain black shirt and jeans are cut close to his body to show off his compact body. Happy now? You got lucky I was here. The familiar scoffs and pushes Harry to the side. Lucky that you're too drunk to remember to lock the bathroom door? I'm not that drunk, Harry protests. You think that. I'm gonna go find someone else to go home with since you ruined my first choice. Have fun dealing with your hangover, witch. The familiar throws the door to the bathroom open and leaves without another word. Harry tries to rush after him, but the familiar disappears into the crowd. He goes back to the bar to order another shot, because he's not drunk enough for this, and prays to the matching committee gods that he's not paired up with that familiar. Neither of them would get through the ceremony before they would kill each other. Chapter 4. Saturday, October 22nd. Saturday begins around noon for Harry. He didn't stay at the club for long after his run-in with the familiar. He couldn't get those piercing blue eyes out of his mind. He still can't, if he's honest with himself. There was something about the lithe of his words and the familiar's mannerisms that irks Harry. Oh, and the way he sneers witch every single time repeats itself in an unending loop in Harry's mind. What did Harry do to deserve such anger and resentment? He doesn't even know the familiar's name. As far as he knows, he's never seen this familiar before Thursday at the breakfast buffet. All of this can't be over an apple that the familiar won. If anything, it should be Harry sneering familiar. In his distracted annoyance, Harry forgot to take a hangover potion before he fell asleep, resulting in a pounding in his temples as soon as he wakes up. He has to put on his sunglasses enchanted with an extra strength sun glare blockers on his walk to the dining hall. He's missed breakfast, but the warming smell of roasted tomato soup and garlic bread is a welcomed greeting. He doesn't think his stomach would fare well with eggs right now. Even the thought of them makes him grimace. He gets his food and finds a table far away from the windows and the groups of loud students. Harry doesn't have the energy to cast a silencing charm around him. He had hoped to see Niall in the room, but his roommate is nowhere to be found. Maybe he's reuniting with Sean. He's halfway through with his soup when someone slams their tray on Harry's table. He winces and looks up to see who is rudely joining him. It's the familiar from last night. Lovely day we're having, aren't we? The familiar loudly asks with a wide smile. Harry sighs and goes back to his soup. Surprised to see you talking to me after last night. I thought you were pissed at me for chasing off your hookup. The familiar shrugs. His fingertips tap out an indiscernible rhythm on the table. I had a change of heart. My anger got away from me. It was all in the heat of the moment, you know? The familiar doesn't go to eat his food on his tray. His head rests on a closed fist while his eyes stare Harry down. Sure, yeah, that's okay. Great! The tapping gets louder. Harry's eyes can't help but stray down to the source of the noise. Because I thought we could become friends. Harry looks up, feeling emotional whiplash from the familiar across from him. Yeah, that sounds good. Louis, the familiar interrupts again. My name's Louis. He doesn't offer his hand to Harry, and the finger tapping grows louder. Each tap grates on Harry's nerves. They somehow sound like a hammer pounding on metal. Harry cuts his eyes to the side to see if anyone else shows any sign of hearing the tapping too. And you're Harry. I've heard about you, Louis continues, unbothered. No one seems to hear anything out of the ordinary. Harry's hangover can't be this bad. His hearing has never been this sensitive before. He's had some experience being hungover, but intense sensitivity to sound has never been this bad before. Did the calming potion from last night react badly with the alcohol? No, it would have been out of his system by now. What is happening to... Louis laughs and Harry snaps his eyes to the familiar's hands. There, on his pointer finger, is an iron ring. Iron has the strength to hold charms and hexes. With every tap of Louis's fingers, the ring glows ever so brightly. No one would be able to tell a difference unless they were paying attention. An amplification charm, Harry growls out. Louis's wide smile turns wicked. I have no idea what you're talking about, witch. He accents each word with a tap on his fingers, making the noise rattle around Harry's head. Harry lurches across the table and grabs the familiar's hand. The ring feels hot under his palm. Stop, he hisses. Louis's eyes flicker with amusement. Stop talking to you? That's not a nice thing to say to your new friend. Are you this annoying to all of your friends? Louis leans in until their faces are only a few inches apart. They get used to it. I highly doubt that. Slipping out of Harry's hold, Louis picks up his tray and stands. We'll see, won't we, witch? He winks at Harry and bounds over to the table of familiars as if the past few minutes haven't happened. Another tray slaps on the table and Harry whips his head around. Is everyone determined to make Harry's headache worse? He relaxes when he sees it's only Niall. Hey, man. His roommate greets and swings his leg over the bench seat. What was Louis doing here? You know him? Yeah. Niall sends him a concerned glance at Harry's sharp tone. Why? Harry groans and drops his head in his hands. He's the most annoying person I've ever met. He sighs and lifts his head up. Don't worry about it. Where have you been? Sean's, Niall answers around a mouthful of bread. Where were you last night? I got back late and you weren't there. I went to a club to get my head out of this funk it's been in. Still worried about the matching ceremony? I really don't see how anyone is able to not go insane. I feel like I'm going insane. Niall shrugs. I know there's nothing I can do, so there's no need to worry about something I can't control. But that's it, he gestures wildly. How can I be fine with having zero control over my future? My literal future, Niall. Our future. Our matched familiar will dictate how well we'll create the talisman. The strength and effectiveness of the talismans is to enhance our powers. How can I be a good potions master or open up a potions and charm shop if I don't have a familiar by my side? No one is going to want a mediocre potion. They'd want one from a witch with a familiar pairing. He releases a deep breath and looks to his friend, feeling pathetically vulnerable, much too vulnerable and raw for a Saturday afternoon with a hangover. I don't know what to tell you, H, Niall replies sympathetically. The only thing I can offer you is a distraction. Want me to tell you about me and Sean? Please? Harry leans on his fist and goes back to his soup, which has gone cold. He waves his hand and casts a simple heating charm. As Niall dives into the latest update with Sean's insecurities in his and Niall's relationship, if there is one, Harry's gaze strays over to the familiar's table. Louis is sitting in Harry's direct line of sight. He throws his head back, laughing at something someone says. Others laugh with him, but Harry doesn't pay attention to them. The familiar's smile to his friends is gentle and bright. As he talks to the group, Harry can see the ease and contentment from how expressive Louis is with every movement. From his smile to the glint in his eyes, it seems like Louis has a fierce hold over everyone at the table. They'd happily do whatever he says. But why has he targeted Harry to pick on? Does he need more mindless followers to surround himself with? He's charmed, possibly literally because no one is that magnetic, everyone around him. Why charm a ring to annoy Harry? What's the reason for it? Why? Well, if Louis wants to be friends with Harry, then he'll have to match the familiar's friendly treatment. Chapter 5. Sunday, October 23rd. Other than the potions classroom, the library is Harry's second favorite place on campus. Its white stone walls and wooden shelves packed with books bring a type of quiet comfort that he's only been able to find in the bubbling of a cauldron. He waves hello to the librarian as he walks up to the front desk. Morning, Mitch. How are you doing? Mitch crosses his arms over the top of the desk. Books sort themselves into piles behind him, presumably getting ready to be shelved. What are you up to, H? Harry pouts at Mitch's vacant expression. What makes you think that I'm up to something? Mitch raises an eyebrow, slightly judging Harry. Harry rolls his eyes and pulls his notebook out from his satchel. I'm looking for a book on hexes I can incorporate into baked goods. The older witch stays silent, waiting for Harry to break and tell him exactly why he needs such a thing. It's happened often. Not that Harry has frequently searched for hexes, but he bugs Mitch quite often. But Mitch is practiced at staying quiet while staring Harry down, and Harry's level of resolve has never matched the older witch's, and he spills. There's a familiar who started a prank war, and I want to find a minor and totally not awful but still annoying hex to put in a baked good. Mitch cracks a faint grin and points to his left. I'd start with row W, shelf 42. There's a few books on harmless hexes witches have used against mortals during their Halloween season. You should find something there. Grinning, Harry taps the top of the desk. Thank you, Mitch. He easily finds the section and pulls down several books that seem promising. He casts a hovering charm to keep his arms free to peruse the titles. They follow him while he walks up and down the aisles until he has a decent selection to start with. He walks over to the edge of the library where tables and armchairs are available. There's not many students in the library with it being a Sunday. Most are taking advantage of their free time before classes begin tomorrow, but there are still a few here and there. Harry finds an open table and dives in. He's brought his notebook and pens and highlighters to jot down every probable hex. He doesn't know what sort of baked good Louis might be tempted to take, especially from Harry, but he supposes muffins, biscuits, or possibly a scone should do the trick. He could make a selection of goods to cover his bases. The only problem could be others wanting to try the food and getting hexed in the process. He'll have to come up with a way to prevent that. He crosses out the hex that causes boils to appear on one's face with that thought. A few hours and several filled pages later, Harry thinks he has a good selection of hexes to work on. To save Mitch some time, Harry puts his own books back and cleans up his area as he found it. He might like to bug Mitch, but he has the time to help out. He skips lunch and heads to his room. Niall is away again, as Harry expected. Sean had demanded that he and Niall would spend the entire day together to sort everything out once and for all. According to his roommate, Sean still shows concern for Niall potentially falling for his matched familiar. In Harry's opinion, he thinks Sean is being silly for thinking that Niall would completely abandon him for a familiar. Does he not trust their relationship? Or is he using the matching ceremony as an excuse to fully break it off with Niall? Harry might have to prepare a stronger heartbreak potion, just in case. One of the best additions to Harry's room is a gift he received from his sister when he first started showing an interest in potions. Even though he has full access to the potions classroom as an upperclassman, he only has one cauldron to use and he can't very well dump out his current potion in favor of a silly hex. Instead, he opens the top drawer of his dresser and pulls out a rectangular wooden box with a glass lid. He sets it on top of the dresser and opens it. After making sure he has his notebook and satchel, Harry mutters a small incantation and closes his eyes as he's whisked into the box. He lands on his feet, only stumbling a little bit as he typically does when arriving in his safe haven. The box acts as an extension to Harry's room where he keeps a small cauldron from home, a few plants, and a small bookshelf with a handful of his favorite spellbooks and journals from past projects. He comes here often to get out of his head and practice some smaller potions and charms. Sometimes he comes to the box when he's feeling a little homesick. Opening his notebook, he claps his hands and starts to pull out the different ingredients he's gathered from his satchel. A fire lights underneath the cauldron, and he begins his first hex on the list. Harry purposefully arrives late to dinner. He wanted to wait until he thought Louis would already be sitting at his table for his meal. Sure enough, Louis's table is almost full as he converses with those around him. Harry goes through the line, a pasta bake this time, and walks with a purpose to Louis's table. It's not against the rules for witches to sit with familiars, but it doesn't happen too often. Still, Harry draws a few odd looks when he plops down beside Louis. Evening, everyone. I'm sure Louis told you all about me. The familiar sitting on Louis's other side leans over, his brown eyes full of curiosity and something else Harry can't place. Not sure he's mentioned you at all. What's your name? Unfazed, Harry reaches across Louis, who's staying quiet and still, to shake hands with the other familiar. Hi, I'm Harry Styles, new best friend. Zane Malik, Louis's current best friend, the familiar says with an amused smile. He turns to Louis. You didn't tell me I was getting replaced. That jolts Louis into action. Well? He clears his throat and stabs his fork into the pasta bake. I never told him he was my new best friend. He glances at Harry out of the corner of his eye. He's being a bit presumptuous on that one. Grinning, Harry pulls out a small basket the size of a thimble and places it on the table in front of Louis. I'm all about aiming to be the best, reach for the stars and all that. With a minuscule basket? I couldn't very well carry a large basket while also getting my dinner tray now, could I? He waves his hand and the basket enlarges. Inside are different shaped biscuits. I brought dessert for everyone, but this one, he leans forward, pulls out an L-shaped biscuit and hands it to Louis, is for you. Louis eyes him warily before taking the offered dessert. How nice, but I'm afraid I can't eat it. Why not? I looked up what bunny familiars can't eat and avoided them, but I made several types in case others have different allergies. He points out each one as he explains. The triangles are lemon lavender, the circles are caramel chocolate chip, and the stars are strawberries and cream. Yours is strawberry and cream. Cheers, mate, the familiar beside Harry says. He pulls out one of each on his plate. I'm Ollie, Louie's childhood friend. He names the others at their table, all of which Harry knows he won't be able to remember at the moment because as Ollie talks, he's trying to keep an eye on Louie. Nice to meet you all, he says with a wave and a smile. What's everyone's masters about? As they all answer, Louie still hasn't taken a bite of his biscuit and Harry tries not to worry about it. The familiar does have a pasta bake on his plate. He might want to finish his dinner before eating dessert. Harry joins in on the conversation, adding in when there's a lull. But he's fine sitting and listening to the group talk. He feels comfortable amongst them. What about you? Someone across the table asks. It might have been Isaac, but Harry could be wrong. I'm working on my potions masters, he answers around a mouthful of food. I hope to open a potions and charms shop once I graduate. I already have my eye on a space to rent out. You do? Louie asks, sounding shocked. Yeah, Harry replies slowly, turning to face him. My older sister has been keeping an eye on a few properties for me. She's got her master's in charms and hexes a few years ago. I've almost convinced her to go into work with me, but she's stubborn. Louie hums and turns to Zane to start up a conversation with him. The biscuit stays uneaten on Louie's plate throughout the entire meal, but the others are taken from the basket. Harry breaks off half of the lemon and lavender and the caramel chocolate chip and nibbles on them. He makes a show of taking and eating an entire strawberries and cream. Still, Louie doesn't touch his. You know, Harry begins, it's rude not to eat what someone's gifted to you. Louie glances down at his plate that's empty except for the L biscuit. He shrugs. What if I wanted to keep it as a sign of our friendship? He turns to Zane. Isn't there a spell to preserve food? Not for eternity, maybe for a few weeks. Louis's jaw clenches, but he smooths over his expression when he faces Harry again. Then I suppose I ought to eat it now. Let's share it, Harry rushes out. He reaches out and breaks off a small piece. And if you really want a long-lasting sign of our newfound friendship, I can certainly make something else for you. Louis fidgets in his seat. Like what? Harry stares at Louis, not sure what to say. He doesn't really know why he made that offer. Wasn't the whole point of the biscuits to get Louis to eat the L-shaped one by himself? He can't really get out of eating it. If he refused, then it would look odd and Louis might not eat his own. A toast, he says, raising his small piece of biscuit. To our friendship, may it last until the stars fade. And the ocean dries up, Louis adds softly, lifting the biscuit up. They simultaneously take a bite and Harry can feel the hex activate. Louis's eyes light up in recognition and he drops his cookie on his plate. What did you do? Harry smirks and shrugs, keeping quiet for now. You penis? Louis's eyes widen as the word bursts out from his lips. Is this your idea of a good penis? Harry can't help but bursts out in giggles. Unfortunately, the hex settled in him too. Penis? Fuck, I can't say it. I'm too penis. Sorry. The entire dining hall goes quiet as Louis and Harry trade insults while shouting penis in every sentence. Their table breaks out into laughter as Louis, red-faced, starts throwing anything he can at Harry. You're such a little penis. Shit, how long penis is this going to be fucking penis last? The hex, the one that made Harry laugh uncontrollably when he first read it, is such an immature one to choose, but the payoff is so worth it, even if he fell victim to it as well. No penis idea. What? Louis stands up and grips Harry's forearm, tugging to get him up. Penis, what do you mean? Harry allows himself to be moved away from the table and out to the hallway. He shrugs, his smirk standing firmly on his face. He didn't realize how satisfying it was to see Louis flustered and annoyed. He must have been too drunk the other night to notice it. The book wasn't penis-specific. Louis huffs and tries to cast a silencing charm, but is interrupted each time by yelling out penis. He points sharply at Harry. You, penis, are insufferable. He pauses, grits his teeth, and tries again. Wit, penis. He lets out a growl of frustration, and bunny ears pop out. Oh, shh, penis, Harry says as Louis transforms into his bunny form in a few heartbeats. On the floor of the stone hallway is a light gray and brown bunny who angrily stomps his feet before jumping forward and biting Harry's heels. Ow, fuck, penis, he yells and jumps back to avoid the attack. But Louis is too quick. He chases Harry down the hallway and out of the dining hall while Harry continues to yell out penis. Chapter 6, Monday, October 24th. Harry is ambushed on his way back from his potions classes by his own personal rain cloud, a rain cloud that appears in a flash and drops buckets of water on him. "What the fuck?" he says and tries to cast an umbrella charm with zero luck. "What the hell?" He shoves his leather satchel under his shirt and bends over to try to keep it dry. Even running doesn't make the cloud go away. It diligently follows him no matter how zigzagged or fast he runs. Laughter to his right draws his attention and tells him who's responsible. Louis cackles from his spot on a bench. Zane and Ollie are on the other side of him. Zane shakes his head and rolls his eyes at Harry's shocked expression. "Really?" he yells. A cold breeze blows through and Harry starts to shiver. He's completely soaked from head to toe. His satchel is no doubt ruined. It's going to take several delicate drying and restoration charms to bring it back. "It's better than yelling out penis, huh?" Harry glares at the familiar until he gets a brilliant idea. Why not share this refreshing shower with him? He runs toward Louis and the rain cloud follows. "Hey!" Louis leaps up and starts running away. "That's not fair." "What do you mean?" Harry shouts, trying to catch up with the familiar. But he was fast. "Seems perfectly reasonable to me." He finally gains some ground against Louis and grabs him by the waist. Pulling him into his chest, he keeps Louis there despite his squirming until he's soaked too. "Let go of me, witch." "Say the counter and I will," Harry has to yell over the pounding of the rain. Louis continues to try to get away, but Harry firmly holds onto his waist. "Ugh." He stops fighting. "Fine, let me go and I will." Harry huffs out a laugh and shakes his head. "You'll run away if I do that." Louis crosses his arms across his chest. "Maybe. The only way I'm letting go of you is if you put a stop to the rain cloud, which you should before both of us get sick." Louis turns his head slightly to look back at Harry. He waits a moment as if considering his options. Quietly, Louis recites the counter to the hex designed for only the user to say, and the rain cloud dissipates. "There, now will you let me go?" When he does, Louis turns around, crosses his arms back over his chest. "You dropped your bag back there," he gestures with his chin. Harry pushes back his wet hair from his face. "I'll get it in a minute. For now, you need to come with me." Louis takes a small step back. "What in the hell for? Are you going to hex me again?" Harry rolls his eyes. "I'm going to make us something to keep us from actually catching a cold, since we're, you know, soaked to the fucking bone because of your rain cloud." Louis waves a hand around his body and he's dried in a flash. "I think I'll be okay." Harry rolls his eyes and does the same. "We both know that won't help. You can be stubborn and potentially get sick from your own hex, or you can come with me and I can help. Your choice." Louis looks away and clenches his jaw. "Fine," he says tersely and begins to walk toward the dorms. "But once I have my potion, I'm leaving." "Fine with me," Harry mutters. He turns around and jogs to his fallen satchel. He really should have thrown it the moment he realized the rain cloud was focused on him. He has to run to catch up with Louis and points him in the right direction of his dorm. Niall is on the couch with Sean making smacking noises that he pointedly ignores on the way to his room. Louis, thankfully, doesn't comment on it and follows Harry. He looks around his room and watches as Harry pulls out the glass and wooden box. Harry opens it and holds his hand out to Louis. "Okay, ready?" The familiar doesn't say anything, but glances down at Harry's hand and back up to his face. "Ready for what?" "I don't have my potion-making things here, so can you..." Harry shakes his hand. "Hold my hand for a quick second." "This better not be another trick." He gingerly rests his hand in Harry's. Harry groans and grips it tighter. "You're impossible," he says. He says the incantation and the two are taken into the box. Only when they land, Louis is so out of sorts that he falls on his bum as soon as they arrive. "What the hell is this place?" he asks, looking around. Harry steps over to him and starts pulling down ingredients and lighting the cauldron with a wave of his hand. "My personal potion room. Plus, I like to study in here sometimes." He points to the far side of the room, where a brown velvet couch sits. A checkered throw is haphazardly resting over the back. "My back can get really messed up in those chairs in the library, and I like to keep my bed for actual sleeping." Louis stays silent, taking in everything while Harry works. He does quietly comment, "It's nice in here." Harry pauses and looks back at the familiar before he throws in a sprig of sage on the spot. "Thanks," he replies just as quietly. They fall into silence except for the soft bubbling of the cauldron. In a matter of minutes, Harry pulls out two drinking glasses and pours a cherry red liquid in each. He hands Louis his glass. "Cheers." He lifts up his own before he downs it. Rum punch." Louis looks at him over the edge of his glass. "Did you just quote Mary Poppins?" Harry shrugs and sets his glass down on the cabinet where his notebook and used ingredients are sitting. It was her recipe, so I might as well. Louis pulls the glass away and peers down in it. What do you mean? Harry turns and leans against the cabinet. She was a witch and gave us a few potion recipes. Didn't you know? Louis shakes his head. I'm focusing on charms and hexes. I only took one potions class, which I barely passed. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, you didn't ask me what my master's was in yesterday, so you wouldn't. He finally shoots down the potion and his eyes light up. Cherry, how is that possible? Yours was rum punch, wasn't it? Harry shakes his head and takes Louis's used glass with a grin. Nah, mine was cherry too. I like making that reference when I take the potion. Drives my sister crazy. Have you needed a cold prevention potion often? I loved running around in rainstorms when I was younger. We had a backyard that would always flood no matter how many charms and spells my mom would put on to prevent it. I thought it was the coolest thing and would run around splashing in all the puddles. You've always been annoying then, huh? Harry snorts and turns around to pull a jar out from the cabinet. I guess so. He slowly ladles the rest of the potion into the jar, seals it, and places it on the left-hand side where he keeps a few other potions handy. Okay, he says, turning back to face Louis. I still need to take care of a few things in here, but I'll take you back so you can go on your way. He offers his hand again. Louis glances behind him to the couch by the plants. What kind of things? Harry drops his hands. My satchel was a casualty of your rain cloud, and I need to make sure nothing inside was ruined and make sure the leather isn't completely damaged. Oh, Louis peeks over at the satchel in question. I can stay and help if you need me to, he points to the couch. Or I can stay out of your way. When Harry goes to protest that no, he doesn't need Louis's help, he pauses and bites his lip. Glancing up, he responds, I don't know if I'll need your help, but Niall and Sean are probably making a mess of the living area, and I don't want you exposed to that. Louis chuckles softly. No, I don't suppose I'd want to see that. He starts to back away to the couch. I'll hang out here until you think you need me. Okay, Harry says. He watches as Louis settles himself on the couch. The familiar rearranges the blanket over his lap and pulls over the spellbook Harry had left. He has to jerk his head away and focus on his task. Something settles in his chest as he works. Louis doesn't make a sound, but his presence in Harry's small getaway packs a punch yet feels oddly right. He feels content sharing the space with Louis. His brain not so helpfully points out that not even Niall has been inside. He shakes his head, dislodging any more thoughts on the subject, and goes back to his drenched satchel. Chapter 7, Tuesday, October 25th. Louis wakes up disoriented. Soft light filters into the room, and he has to blink a few times before he's able to fully open his eyes and realize where he is. The small black cauldron across the room and the cabinet are the biggest giveaways that he's still in Harry Styles' secret box. He sits up, the checkered blanket falling off his shoulders, and looks around for the witch. When he doesn't see him, Louis begins to panic. He's alone in the room. He throws off the blankets and stands. Tilting his head up, he can only see a few vague, enormous shapes from Harry's bedroom. The lamp on the top of the dresser provides light for Louis to be able to see clearly. He feels like a doll as he looks up at the regular-sized lamp. Hello? He looks on the cabinet top for a note or something to tell him where Harry went, but all that's there are his and Harry's empty drinking glasses. Harry? Before Louis can really start to get panicked, Harry pops in front of him. He looks tired, his hair is a tangled mess, and his eyelids are drooping. The witch hides a yawn behind a closed fist. Sorry, he says, you fell asleep while I was working and I didn't want to wake you. What time is it? 3, I think? He turns his wrist over, but then realizes he doesn't have a watch on. The witch draws a circle in the air in front of him and a smoky analog clock appears, reading 3:16 in the morning. That's so early. Louis groans and rubs a hand over his face. Can you do whatever it is to get me out of here? Harry chuckles and holds out his hand. Louis tries to smooth out his reaction when he slides his hand into Harry's. No need to let the witch in on how he's feeling. Although Louis could probably tell him everything and he wouldn't remember it later on in the morning since he looks so exhausted. Still, Louis feigns indifference when Harry spells them out of the wooden box. He stays long enough to see Harry put the box on the top drawer. Thanks for the potion, he whispers, and darts out of the room before the witch can say anything else. The moon is in its waning state and provides zero light during his walk from the witch dorms to the familiar. He shivers when a strong breeze blows between the buildings, and he has to tuck his arms around his waist to keep warm. He can't wait until he's back in his room and can transform into his rabbit form. He's always so much warmer that way. Louis has to sneak past Zane, who's resting on their couch in his cat form. His roommate has excellent hearing, but even more so when he's a cat. Louis can never get anything past him on a good day, but definitely not when he is on four paws. Somehow, he manages to get to his own room without disturbing Zane. He sighs when he closes the door with a soft click. He waits a few seconds to make sure he doesn't hear the pitter-patter of Zane's feet. When he deems himself in the clear, he wastes no time to strip down and transform. Transforming into his rabbit form feels as if he's pulled on a thick blanket around his body. It's a cozy way of existing. He purposefully ignores his bed. It's too hard for his liking. The sheets are too scratchy. And he never wants to take the time to get new ones. He'll be leaving in almost 2 years in any case. He's rarely slept in his dorm's bed, preferring the nest he created in the corner of his room. He's collected the perfect combination of soft pillows and blankets for him to burrow into. He finds the comfort in the small space of his burrow that he can't recreate in his bed. He supposes it goes back to his familiar mindset. It's why Zane always seems to find sunny spots in their dorm to lie in. They fall victim to their animal tendencies when they're behind closed doors. Even though he's physically comfortable, Louis can't turn his thoughts away from the little box in Harry's dresser. He doesn't really know what he expected from the witch, but it wasn't a little hideaway stored in a wooden box. It's clever, really, to have a place like that on campus. While this is a school to learn and hone one's magic, there's rarely a place where you can truly be alone. Gargoyles are major gossips. Students and familiars alike are hiding in every nook and cranny, and sometimes it's an impossible task to get away unless you actually leave the magical world. Why else would he be in the mortal realm? Sure, he's hooked up with a few mortals here and there during the years of the academy, but his furry little problem actually becomes a problem more often than he likes to admit. Louis can't honestly wait until the matching ceremony where he'll be paired with a witch. He's always thought how lucky witches have it to not have to worry about uncontrolled magic. They don't have to keep their emotions in check at all times. The only bonus they get from a familiar bond is enhanced magic. Did they understand how integral the bond is for a familiar? Do they know about the struggles familiars go through on a daily basis to simply exist? Louis used to transform uncontrollably when he was younger. He was behind in all of his transformation classes that strive to teach control and balance to familiars. He almost failed. Imagine that, a familiar failing a class about being a familiar. It's a laughable thought, but unfortunately, it was almost true for Louis. So, Halloween night couldn't come soon enough. He honestly didn't care which witch he would be paired with. He only wanted one he could get along with and who can help provide a talisman for Louis's transformations. The ultimate control over himself is all he cares about. Right? Chapter 8, Wednesday, October 26th. Harry skips breakfast again in favor of going down to the potions classroom. Today is the vital part of the potion-making process he's been brewing. He has to give his potion constant attention while adding new ingredients at extremely specific times. If he fails to do so, the potion won't be as effective. It'll still do its job, but Harry wants it to be at its best. He doesn't want a half-assed potion. Liam is at his station, drinking out of a steaming mug with one hand while he adds in a few drops of something red in his own cauldron when Harry walks in. "Morning, Harry," he greets with a lift of his mug. "Hey, Liam," Harry points to his classmate's cup. "That was a smart idea. I should have thought of that." Liam smiles and sets the bottle of red liquid on his table. "I'm not staying for too long. Just needed to add some pixie blood to the pot." He curiously watches as Harry begins to unload items from his satchel. "Are you staying for a bit, then?" Harry nods and opens his notebook. He had written down the items he knew the classroom shelves held and walks over to retrieve those items. "I'm here for the long haul today." Liam winces slightly, knowing how difficult these types of days can be. "Good luck to you, mate. I'm off to breakfast." Harry waves goodbye and turns to his potion. Taking a deep breath, he spells the flames to burn a tiny bit brighter to raise the heat level of the potion. The next step requires the liquid inside to be at a rolling boil. It's going to be a long day. Harry vaguely notices other students filter in and out of the classroom as the morning turns to the afternoon. But he keeps his entire focus on the bubbling concoction in front of him. He can't afford to mess up. "Nicely done, Mr. Stiles," David quietly comments during one of his walkthroughs after Harry adds dried sprigs of rosemary and sage, both that had to be picked under a full moon and left to dry naturally, to the pot. Harry feels good about his progress. The potion is bubbling like it should. It's pale orange in color like it should, and it's reacting to every stir and additive exactly like it should. He feels really good. Bam! Flames shoot high in the air as people yell in shock and fear. Harry can feel the heat radiating all the way across the room. He drops his ladle and stumbles back against the shelves. Glass rattles when he hits, and he vaguely realizes that a few bottles have dropped. It's none of his concern at the moment. Across the room, a giant column of flames burns fiercely. Instead of dissipating, the flames maintain their shape. The poor student whose potion caused the uproar tries to chant spell after spell, and counter after counter, but all bounce off the flames like a bouncy ball. Nothing is working. Out of the corner of his eye, Harry sees David and his familiar rush to the student's side. Like a well-practiced conductor, David waves his arms and twists his wrists to and fro while he casts. However, his magic just barely contains the flames. They falter slightly, but not enough to completely go out. The longer it burns, the brighter the flames glow. The orange glows even begins to shift to yellow with a hint of green at the center as it starts to burn through the magic in the potion. "Go!" David shouts to his familiar while he keeps trying to fight off the flames. His familiar transforms into his cat form and runs out of the classroom with a few other students who are capable of getting around the flames. Just as Harry thinks he has a shot to do the same, the flames sink into a burning ball for a moment or two before it explodes outward. Streams of fire shoot out in all directions, shattering glass with its impact. Harry dives down and feels burning pain erupt on his back. He slams onto the stone floor, screaming out in pain before he blacks out. Even though Louis is in the research and development part of his school career, he still has to take those classes that sometimes bore him. His later afternoon class about shifting etiquette is one of those classes. The entire curriculum teaches familiars preparing to be matched about the change they'll experience once bonded. While it's interesting and something Louis will definitely need to know about soon, his mind tends to wander. He thinks about what the dining hall will have for dinner, about the upcoming matching ceremony, and maybe about a certain curly-headed witch. Although, he'll deny to anyone about that last one. Louis's professor halts her teachings mid-sentence and stares off into the distance. Louis and a few of his classmates look up from their notes in curiosity. Sarah's eyes widen, and she shouts, "Down!" Louis has only a second before the windows to his left explode. He covers his head as glass rains down. His ears begin to ring from the impact, but he manages to hear someone ask, "What the hell was that?" His heart races as he tries to take deep breaths to calm himself down. Are they under attack? He looks over to Zane, whose expression clues him in that his friend is thinking the same thing. He reaches out to grasp at Zane's arm to center himself. Zane, in turn, squeezes his hand tightly. "I don't know," Sarah answers shakily. "Is everyone all right?" The students sitting directly beside the windows call out their injuries, and Sarah rushes over to see what she can do. "We need to get you all to the infirmary," she looks around to the entire class. "All of you should go to be seen." "Sarah," someone calls out from the doorway. He looks panicked as he takes in the disaster the classroom has turned to. "David needs help. A student's potion has gone off. Can you find Mitch and come help?" Sarah looks torn between needing to help her students and helping with the cause of the explosion. A potion? Could potions even do such a thing? "Wait," Louis whispers to Zane. "He said potion, right?" Zane nods, his face looking slightly pale. "Yeah, why?" Louis's mind flashes to Harry. Harry, who is getting his master's in potion making and could very well be the one the familiar is talking about. He shakes his head and looks out of the shattered windows as if he can see through brick and trees to the potions classroom. Nothing. When Harry wakes up, he's lying on his stomach and feels something sticky and hot along his back. He groans and attempts to roll over, but a gentle hand on his upper arm stops him. "No, you can't move, Harry," they say. Harry, so out of it and exhausted for some reason, thinks he recognizes the person talking to him, but he can't place it. He tries mumbling out a question as to why he can't move. Why is someone in his bedroom? It seems a bit silly and slightly frightening if someone is in his bedroom keeping him on his stomach. The hand moves off his arm and fingers are buried in his hair. "Go back to sleep," the person whispers. "You need your rest." Just before Harry dives back into unconsciousness, a second voice asks, "Are you okay?" Harry wants to answer, but the person by his side beats him to it. "I'll be all right. I'll keep watch over him." "Are you bonded?" "No. the person whispers. We aren't. Chapter 9. Thursday, October 27th. Louis unsuccessfully tries to sneak past Zane when he enters their dorm room. His friend pauses the movie he was playing on his laptop and pulls off his headphones. Where have you been? Louis thinks about lying. He could easily say he was in the mortal realm or taking a walk around campus, but his friend would see right through it. The infirmary. Zane raises an eyebrow. You were discharged soon after we got there. Louis tucks his hands in his pockets. Yeah, well, they wanted me to come back for a checkup with a familiar healer. His friend stares at him for a moment or two, as if he's deciding if he should call Louis out on his very obvious lie. Okay, are you all good? Louis nods, biting his bottom lip. Okay, night, Lou. Night, Louis says, and scurries down the hallway to his room. When he closes the door, he presses his back against the door, feeling overwhelmed by the past 24 hours. The moment he was released by the nice academy healer, Polly, he walked past the other rooms, his eyes searching for Harry. He had found him, lying on his stomach with bandages covering most of his back. Even though he was the farthest from the explosion, Harry was unable to cast any protective charms. Louis had overheard the bonded witch to the familiar that had come for help explain to Polly that he had cast a protective charm over himself moments before attempting to fight the flames. The witch was too preoccupied with controlling the fire and everything was happening too quickly. If Harry hadn't dived down, his injuries would be significantly worse. Louis had slipped inside the witch's room before anyone noticed. Thankfully, he wasn't kicked out until Polly noticed he was starting to fall asleep. He didn't want to leave, but he also didn't want to be banned from the infirmary. He chucks off his shoes, tosses them in the hamper, and slips in the ensuite bathroom. He has dried sweat sticking to his back and his hair is a greasy mess. He can't get his mind off of Harry while he bathes. While he didn't see the witch's injuries, the bandages soaked in a sweet-smelling paste made his nose scrunch up. He could practically smell the magic infused in the paste doing its work. When the water starts to run cold, Louis turns it off and dries off. He doesn't know if classes will take place tomorrow, or well, in a few hours, since most of the classrooms in the close vicinity of the potions room were impacted. He hasn't received any notice from his professors, so he's not sure. As he transforms into his rabbit form and burrows into his blankets, he wishes he were anywhere else but here. When Harry wakes, the stickiness on his back has turned itchy. He blinks his eyes open, and his heart thumps loudly in his chest as he realizes that he's definitely not in his room. Nor is he on the couch in his dorm. He's in the infirmary. He bends an arm back awkwardly to be able to lightly brush his fingertips against his back. He feels the heaviness of bandages and immediately remembers what happened. Someone's potion had an awful reaction and exploded out in a fiery spectacle. Not even David's quick-thinking magic could fight it off. He can't tell what time it is or even how long he's been out. He vaguely remembers someone being in his room earlier, but it was probably the healer. Knowing his back is delicately wrapped, he pushes his body into a kneeling position slowly. When his back doesn't protest the movement, he carefully steps off of the bed. Harry keeps one hand on the edge of the bed and then the railing at the foot of the bed as he walks to the attached bathroom. His legs feel a little shaky. More likely a byproduct of the healing paste on his back, the trauma he sustained, and the amount of time he's been asleep. He uses the restroom, and while he's washing his hands, he twists his torso to take a look at his back. Bandages are laid in vertical stripes and tinged a light pink from the medicinal paste used. Or at least, he really hopes it's pink from that and not blood. "Good morning, Mr. Stiles," someone greets from the doorway. He looks up to see healer Polly dressed in a light green tunic and mixing something with a mortar and pestle. It smells like aloe and is tinged pink. That gives him a bit of relief. Morning. He nods to the paste being made. I suppose it's time to change bandages? Polly nods with a slight grimace. It is, but you're in good hands. He waves one hand and a tall stool appears between them. I'll need to wet your current ones, pat dry with the damaged areas, and apply the new medicine. Harry nods and gingerly takes a seat. He closes his eyes as Polly begins to work. It's slow and he shivers as water drips down his back. After a few minutes, Harry decides to ask, "How bad is it?" Another bandage is peeled off. Not as bad as it could have been. David was just able to minimize it before it combusted. Oh God, Harry's eyes widen. How had he forgotten the status of the others with him? How is he? If he's this bad, how bad off is David? He has a few injuries from glass, and his heart certainly was put to a test, but he's fine. His protective charm took the impact. That would have been a good idea to do for myself. Polly smiles at him from over his shoulder as the last bandage is removed. Yes, it would have. However, you're here, alive, and you have a familiar looking after you. What? He turns to look at Polly while the healer retrieves a dry cloth from the small cabinet by the door. A familiar? Polly hums affirmatively. He was here for the longest time last night. Had to send him on his way. He looks so tired. Oh. Harry looks down at his hands. Do you know who it was? The healer shakes his head. No, I hadn't seen him before. He gestures for Harry to face forward again before he begins to pat down the area gently. I wouldn't be surprised if he came to visit again. Harry only winces a few times where the flames must have burned harsher at his back, as his back is dried. A familiar visiting him? Could it be Louis? He doesn't know what other familiar would want to come see him. Unless it was David's? But surely Polly would have met David's familiar before. He would know if it were him. He stays still as Polly finishes up. The new bandages are sticky, but provide a cooling sensation against his wounds. Any idea how long this will take to heal? Harry asks as Polly is washing his hands. You should be able to leave later tonight. Your burns weren't very severe, but I want to keep the medicine on there long enough to prevent any scarring. Harry hums and thanks the healer when he leaves. Now that he's fully awake, his stomach begins to growl. He should have asked about food and his classes and, oh, shit. He has to tell his mom what happened if she hasn't been informed already. No, if they had told her, there's no doubt that she would have flown down straight to the academy. That should be a fun conversation. Classes were not canceled, but Louis was seriously tempted to skip. It was a Thursday, practically the weekend, so he could skip. Would Harry go to class, or is he still in the infirmary? He hasn't stopped by the witch's room, even though Louis really wanted to. He barely pays attention to the few classes he has today and isn't called out on his spaced-out behavior until lunch. Lou, are you all right? Ollie asks. He looks over to his friend and decides he might as well confess. He can't lie or fake nonchalance right now. I'm worried about that witch that was injured in the explosion yesterday. When Ollie doesn't show recognition, Zane pipes up. It's Harry, the witch he's worried about. Oh, shit, that was him? Louis nods and half-heartedly stabs his fork into his fried fish. He looked okay when I saw him last night, but fuck, man. He drops his fork and leans back in his seat. His back was completely wrapped up and he was completely out of it. Lou, Ollie says, and turns his back to the other conversations happening at the table. Why don't you go see him if you're this worried? Louis bites the side of his lip. I don't know. I have my charms class next. Zane nudges him in the arm. I'll take notes for you. Besides, Professor Mark is half in love with you. You can afford to miss one class. Louis sighs and glances between his friends. Yeah, he nods and repeats it a bit more firmly. Yeah, I'll go. He looks down at his food. He's probably hungry or something. When Louis reaches the infirmary with a small bento box he pulled from his stash filled with fruits and veggies, he couldn't decide if Harry would want fried fish or grilled tacos. Harry is sitting up in bed, chatting quietly to a scrying mirror. The mirror covers most of his face, but he can see the witch reach up and rub his eye with a closed fist and a fight off a yawn. No, you don't need to come. I promise. I'm fine, Mum, Harry reassures. Louis doesn't want to disturb Harry when he's talking to his mother or when he clearly needs more rest. He walks far enough in the room to place the bento box on the bedside tray that's at the foot of the bed and hurries out. He skips his charms class and goes to his burrow for the rest of the afternoon. Chapter 10. Friday, October 28th. Harry is munching on a grape out of the red and yellow bento box he found on his tray when Niall comes for a visit. You look like shit, his roommate declares before slipping his bag off of his shoulder and on the foot of Harry's bed. Harry snorts. Thanks, Niall. Nice to see you too. Niall digs around in his bag and starts to pull out a few different stacks of paper. Here are the notes from yesterday and today's classes. All of your professors wish you well, and David said he's going to stop by soon regarding your potion. Harry groans and drops his head back. I know it's ruined. His head falls forward into an open palm. I'm going to have to start from scratch. I'll need to clean out the cauldron, find new ingredients, and some have to be picked during certain moon phases. All of the prep Harry did for the potion now flashes before his mind. Each one adds a weight on him until he feels completely overwhelmed. When is he going to have the time to get all of that done before the semester ends? On top of his assignments from his other classes and the familiar matching ceremony in only a few days. When he does look back up to his friend, Niall is digging around in the bento box. Hey, that's mine, asshole. Niall reluctantly gives the box back to Harry and wipes his sticky fingers on his trousers. I was going to bring you more later. Oh, Harry pops a melon cube in his mouth. Did you bring this by? Niall shakes his head. Nope, might have been Louis. Harry almost chokes on his piece of fruit. Louis, he croaks out. What makes you think it was him? I saw him by the fruit table last night with something that looked a lot like that, he points to the bento box. Harry glances down at the red and yellow box in his hands. Why would Louis bring this to him? Huh. Now, since you're stuck here for a few more hours, I thought you might want some entertainment. Niall pulls out his laptop and opens it to his Netflix account. How about Stranger Things? Around dinner time, long after Niall had left him for the date night with Sean, Harry hears a knock on his door. He lifts himself up on his elbow and cranes his neck to look behind him. Louis stands in the doorway with two bento boxes in his hands, one blue and green and one purple and orange. He seems hesitant to walk in. His eyes go from Harry lying on his stomach to the bandages on his back. Hi, the familiar says softly. I didn't wake you, did I? No, Harry rushes out and twists his body to lay on his side. No, I wasn't sleeping, only resting. And that's not the same as sleeping? Louis asks with a smile playing on his lips. He takes a tiny step into the room. No, it's not, but I'm sure you can look up the definition if you don't believe me. When Harry winces, the teasing smile drops from Louis's face. Are you still hurting? He walks over to Harry's side. I thought you were about to be released. Harry slowly sits up, crossing his legs beneath him. It's the bandages. When they're dry, they're really sticky and sometimes pulls at the skin when I move a certain way. Oh. Louis nods and drums his thumb on top of the bento box. That's good. That you're not in pain, I mean. Yeah, Polly has been taking good care of me, but I am ready to get out of here. Louis hums and rocks back on his feet. Yeah, I would be pretty bored in here. He looks down at the bento boxes in his hands. I brought you this. He hands the blue and green one over to Harry. I don't know if they give you the same food we get in the dining hall, or if you've already eaten. I haven't, Harry interrupts and opens the box. The scent of beef and gravy wafts up to him. Sausage and mash is one of my favorites. He pulls on the plasticware attached to the lid. And a pea? Amazing, thank you. Louis chuckles. You're welcome, Harry. Do you mind if I eat with you? Harry shakes his head and starts to scoot backward to give Louis room to sit at the foot of his bed. Louis mirrors Harry's seated position as he opens his own bento box to a similar meal. They eat in a comfortable silence for a few minutes. Did they tell you when you'll be released? Harry shrugs and scoops some peas in with his mash. Polly came by last night after dinner to refresh the bandages. They wanted to make sure the medicine was able to prevent any scarring. Oh, Louis says. But you're not in pain? No, he says softly, taking in the concerned, pinched expression on Louis's face. I'm not. Maybe uncomfortable being half naked for the past 2 days, he teases. The light blush on the tops of Louis's cheeks doesn't go unnoticed. You won't be uncomfortable for too long, Polly says from the doorway. They pointedly look at Louis as if saying, see, you do have a familiar looking after you. If your burns pass the test, then you are free to go, Mr. Stiles. Sounds amazing. Harry swings his legs off of the bed and heads to the bathroom. He glances back at his meal. Before he can say anything, Louis pipes up and says, I'll cast a small heating charm to keep it warm. Thanks, he says with a soft smile. I'll keep it quick, Polly says with a wink, and now is the time for Harry to blush. It's not like that, he whispers as Polly begins to wet the bandages and slowly pulls them off. Through the mirror's reflection, Polly sends him a look, not believing Harry at all. Like promised, Polly doesn't take long to clean Harry's back from the residue from the medicinal paste. You're going to have a little bit of discoloring for a few weeks while your skin continues to fully heal, but there's no more burnt tissue or risk of infection, Polly explains. They lightly pat Harry's back dry. And there's no need for you to be in the infirmary. Harry twists around to look at his back in the mirror. Stretching from just above his left hip to his right shoulder are two jagged lines. The skin is a very light pink, and it's sensitive when he brushes his fingers over part of it. You'll have some sensitivity for a few weeks, Polly continues. I'll give you a cooling aloe gel that you should put on at night, but you can cover it with a loose t-shirt once it dries so you're not uncomfortable anymore. Harry chuckles and reaches his hand out to shake their hand. Thanks, Polly. Anytime. but I hope I don't have to see you around here anytime soon. After Polly leaves, Harry tugs on the shirt Niall had brought him earlier. Louis is waiting at the foot of Harry's bed with his knees tucked close to his chest while he reads a book Harry doesn't remember seeing him bring in. He murmurs quietly to himself while he does. "Did you not finish your dinner?" Harry asks when he sees Louis's bento box opened with a sausage and mash still inside. Louis puts the book to the side and smiles up at him. "No, I wanted to eat with you, like I said." "Oh," Harry climbs back to the bed and pulls out his bento box, still just as warm as it was when he was first handed it. "You didn't have to do that." "I wanted to. It would be weird for me to sit here while you eat by yourself." The familiar lifts his dinner back up too. "I suppose so," Harry mutters, feeling something big and warm settle in his chest as they dig back in. Chapter 11. Saturday, October 29th. "Nothing happened," Harry insists when Niall keeps pestering him about the night before. "We came back to the dorm, he helped me with the aloe gel, not like that," he has to add when Niall raises an eyebrow at him, "and then he left." "Uh-huh," Niall says, completely unconvinced. "I find it interesting how I leave you alone, hungry and injured, and you come back with a familiar companion and more bento boxes. And," he points at Harry, "you looked flustered when I brought him up." "I'm not flustered," Harry says, his voice going up high in the end, completely giving him away. He lowers his tone and repeats, "I'm not flustered." "Okay, okay," Niall says and throws his hands up in submission. "I'll back off now." Harry rolls his eyes and slips into his corduroy jacket. The two were headed to one last breakfast before the matching weekend began. In preparation for the matching ceremony, witches and familiars were to be tested on Saturday afternoon, put into isolation on Sunday, and matched at the stroke of midnight on Halloween. Halloween Day was for celebrations. Harry thought the whole process seemed a bit outdated, but he couldn't argue with tradition. The dining hall was closed off to all students other than the ones who will be part of the matching ceremony. When Niall and Harry walk in, the tables are on either side of the room, one side for witches and one for familiars. The matching weekend has begun. The school has even gone so far as to have separate food tables for the two groups. There will be no intermingling until Halloween Day, it seems. Niall and Harry share a look as nerves hit both of them. The importance of this process doesn't go unnoticed by either witch. While they grab their food and find a table with Liam and their other friends from class, the noise at each table never rises louder than a medium level. Everyone is nervous for the upcoming test. "Have you heard anything about what the test will be like?" Liam asks from across the table. Niall shakes his head. "The match professor won't spill, so I've asked Mitch so many times, but he won't say a word." "Does he say a word to you ever?" Niall asks. "Hey," Harry protests, elongating the word. "We talk quite often. You have to wear him down, though." When Harry faces forward, listening as Liam starts an anecdote about his run-ins with Mitch in the library, he sees Louis sitting across the room. The familiar is surrounded by the usual group of his friends, Zane, Ollie, and Isaac. He looks exactly as he did just last week when Harry saw him, laughing and joking along with his peers, but this time Louis looks up at Harry and smiles softly. The familiar points to his back and gives a thumbs up and then a thumbs down. Harry smiles and gives him a thumbs up, answering his silent question. "Good," he sees Louis mouth. "Harry, when you're done flirting," Niall says, elbowing Harry in the side, "Liam mentioned that the test isn't like a paper test. It's a test of our abilities." Harry reluctantly looks away from Louis. "But how can they accurately test us on that when we have different focuses?" He points to himself and Liam. "We're better with potions than you are, but you're better at creating spells." "No idea," Liam shrugs. "I'm not even sure if the test is important." "What? Think about it," Liam continues. "How can a singular test dictate our matched familiar? Wouldn't they already know who to match us with? I mean, we've been here for almost 10 years. They know us by now." "Who's to say it's the professors doing the matching?" Niall counters. Liam opens his mouth to answer, but then closes it, looking stumped. "See?" Niall says. "It could be some other magical source." "Hang on." Harry holds his hand up between them. "We're leaving our future and matched familiar up to an unknown magical source? Do you have a better guess?" Harry sneaks a look over at Louis. "Why can't we pick our own familiar?" "Attention, students," Headmaster Cromwell calls out. Her voice rings through the dining hall and effectively ceases all conversations. "As you finish your meals, you'll be called in groups to follow one of our professors, where you'll begin the process to be matched." She waits, looking around the room as everyone takes in the momentous change they're about to undergo. "I wish you all the best of luck, and I'll see you on Halloween." With that, she walks out of the room and everyone stays silent. No one moves as the side door opens and a professor Harry doesn't recognize steps inside. They call out a short list of names, and Harry watches as those students rise and file out of the room. It only takes 20 long minutes before Harry's name is called. Niall gives him a nod, which he returns before he looks over to Louis's table. The familiar keeps his eyes on his clasped hands and doesn't spare a glance at Harry when he walks by. Harry wishes he could go over to the familiar and ask what's wrong or call out his name. He wants to do something to get his attention. He won't see this familiar until Halloween night, and by then they could have their own match. It feels significant that Louis refuses to look at him. It hurts, more than Harry dares to admit. When the door closes behind him, Harry has to face forward and follow the five other students in his group. Each group has been either made up of all witches or all familiars and led by a witch or familiar. Whatever tests they're getting ready to take, they must be specifically designed for witches and familiars, and it must not be too long of a test, Harry notes. Each group that was called took no longer than 5 minutes before the next one was called. But if there's a separate familiar test and witch test, then it must take about 10 minutes to take. What if Harry doesn't finish it in 10 minutes? He can't think of any test he's taken recently that's been so short. Maybe the test isn't a test at all, and they're being asked which familiar they want. Before Harry's thoughts can spiral even further than they already have, they reach a closed door. Harry was so out of it that he didn't even notice if they'd left the dining hall at all. He's never been inside this part of the academy before, and is even more confused when the door opens to a long hallway with 5 closed doors evenly spaced out. Each of you will have your own room to begin the matching process, Sarah explains. Instructions will be on the table. She waves them into the hallway and waits with a small smile as they hesitantly enter. Harry's heart pounds in his chest as he walks down the room with his name on it. He takes a deep breath and opens the door. Chapter 12, Sunday, October 30th. Harry gasps awake and clutches his right hand to his chest. Swinging his legs over the side of the bed, he looks around the room, trying to recall the night before. As soon as he stepped inside his assigned room, he was met with 3 floating glass vials. He had to step around them to the small desk in the corner to find out what they each were. Each vial had contained a potion that would put the witch or familiar in a trance. They had to pick whichever vial they were so drawn to and take it. The instructions didn't explain what would happen after they took the potion. It didn't even describe what the potions were. It was all very mysterious and odd. Harry glances down at his right hand. A bright pink plaster was wrapped around his thumb. He vaguely remembers Sarah walking in after he chose the bright blue potion that smelled of candy floss. Did she stab him? Don't be afraid, Sarah had mentioned when she pulled out a small knife. It's for the matching process. As if that was going to make me feel better, Harry mutters. At least she put a plaster on his injury. He doesn't remember what happened after that. He gets flashes of being in foggy, laden woods. Chasing something, or maybe something was chasing him? Even though he knows he never left the room, he physically feels exhausted, as if he actually did run through the woods all night. A popping sound draws his attention to the desk in the corner. A food tray with a covered dish rests on it, along with a small note card. Another test? Will this food cause him to hallucinate too? His legs are stiff when he takes the 3 small steps over to the desk. The note is sealed with the academy crest. Harry, as you are waking from yesterday's test, I'm sure you are quite confused. Please be comforted knowing that your memories of what occurred after making your choice will slowly come back to you throughout the day today. Along with your meal, you'll find a journal. It is encouraged for witches and familiars to write down their experience as it holds the key to the depth of your magic and what it will become once you and your match begin the bonding process. Meals and snacks will be provided. All you have to do is ask. At the stroke of midnight, signaling the beginning of Halloween, your door will open, not to the hallway from where you entered, but to the room of your matched familiar. The two of you will have the time to spend together before joining others in the dining hall for a celebratory feast. Headmaster Cromwell. Sure enough, there's a brown leather journal and a pen sitting beside the food tray. Harry pulls out the desk's chair and begins writing the snippets and the flashes that he does remember before he forgets them. Even though the note says he'll fully remember by the end of the day, he really doesn't want to be the one which it backfires against. By dinner time, or what Harry assumes is lunchtime by the French onion soup and cheese toastie he receives, more fragments join together in an almost whole picture. Once Sarah has collected a blood sample from him and leaves him alone, the room shifts into a scene of a wooded area at twilight. It's incredibly foggy and difficult to see much of anything around him. He's aware of birds in the trees and a breeze filtering through the leaves on the trees. Harry takes a hesitant step forward and a fallen tree limb snaps under his feet. He doesn't know where he's headed, but he feels drawn somewhere. In the back of his mind, he knows he has to reach whatever destination is calling out to him. As Harry writes out his memories, he begins to remember details he hadn't noticed the first time around, like how the path he took was illuminated by a golden hue. There were other pathways, though in all sorts of colors, red, green, blue, and even a purple one, but he was captivated by the gold path. He also remembers hearing other creatures in the forest, birds, cats, and snakes. He didn't hear any other human being besides himself. He didn't talk, didn't call out to anyone, and didn't panic. The only sounds surrounding him were the leaves rustling by the breeze and the occasional owl hoot and the snaps of branches under his feet. The later he felt it got, the faster he ran. He had to reach the end of the pathway before... Before what? What had he been searching for? What was it? The ripping of paper pulls Harry out of his thoughts. He had been writing so fiercely in his journal that he ripped a hole in the paper. He put his pen down and flips through to see how far the damage went. He has to carefully rip out 3 pages. When he flips back to the page he was working on, his face grows hot when one name stands out on the page. He snaps the journal closed, refusing to believe it. Is this what he thinks it is, or is it his wishful thinking? There's no way that the journal says, no, he can't admit what he wrote. Harry goes as far as to put the journal in the drawer and brings the dinner tray over to the bed. He doesn't want to write in it anymore. He doesn't want to think about it anymore. It's too embarrassing. Instead, he thinks about his future shop. The space he had looked at was small. It was once an old cafe, as it had a fully commercialized kitchen in the back. He hadn't thought about opening a cafe, but it would provide a good space for his potions. He could renovate half of the kitchen to be used for food and the other half for brewing potions. He wants to have a space for witches, familiars, and other magical creatures alike to come and find herbal remedies to help with everyday life. Long term, Harry hopes to create a potion or a balm to help those with non-mortal features blend into the mortal world. There are some that exist, but he's heard how awful they can be, especially to those with sensitive skin, like pixies. In one corner of the shop, he can have fairy lights and mounds of blankets and cushions for his familiar to rest while he works. They can burrow inside and be comfortable and cozy. He could even bring along his glass and wooden box. Louis seemed to really... Harry has to stop his train of thought right there. You don't know if he's your familiar, he mutters. The journal pops in front of him and flips over to the page he had finished working on. You can't know if it's true, Harry whispers to the journal. Just because I want it to be real doesn't mean it is. Suddenly, a floating pumpkin appears in front of the door with a countdown of 5 minutes. 5 minutes? That can't be right. There's no way he's been writing in his journal for literal hours and now there's only 5 minutes until he knows who his familiar is. 5 minutes! Harry can't sit down anymore as the nerves ramp up. He paces back and forth in the small space, wringing his hands together as he keeps his eyes on the countdown. All of the previous anxieties and questions pop back into his mind. What if they don't like him? What if they don't mesh together well? What if they're not able to build the talisman at all? What if the fates or powers that be have picked the wrong one for him? As the countdown winds down to the final minute, a new worry arises. What if it's not Louis? 50 seconds. Louis, who started out as a surprise annoyance full of snide remarks and pestering pranks. 40 seconds. Louis, who he met under the worst scenarios. 30 seconds. Louis, who has the most gorgeous blue eyes. 20 seconds. Louis, who has a fierce spirit and is the most protective. 10 seconds. Louis, who didn't look at him when he left. 5 seconds. Louis, who brought him food and stayed with him while he was in the infirmary. 1. The pumpkin vanishes as the countdown finishes and the door clicks open. Harry takes a deep breath as he squares his shoulders. He has to face whoever is on the other side of the door. He has to give them the best chance at getting to know him and his magic. How else can he be successful in life if all he does is worry about the possibilities? That's not to say he wouldn't be just as full of nerves and anxiety-riddled thoughts about something else later down the road, but his future is just on the other side of the door. Chapter 13. Monday, October 31st. When Harry was young and had first learned about the matching ceremony, he had envisioned a picturesque scene of how they would first meet at the matching ceremony. There would be sparks and halos of light surrounding both of them. They would run to each other, exclaiming, "It's you! It's you!" It was a moment much like a movie, but real life isn't like the movies. Instead of shouting and excitement, Harry meets his familiar with soft smiles and a sigh of relief. "Hi," his familiar says after a few silent moments where they're stood staring at each other. "I guess I'm stuck with you for a while, witch." Harry chokes out a laugh as tears pool at the corners of his eyes. "Yeah, I guess so. I hope I'm not too much of a problem for you." Louis shrugs, playing it cool, but Harry can see the tension leave the familiar's shoulders the longer they stand in Louis's assigned room. "Can I?" Harry trails off, holding his arms out. "Yeah," Louis rushes forward and tucks his chin over Harry's shoulders, wrapping his arms around Harry's waist. "Of course you can." Harry sinks into the hug, feeling relieved. He doesn't know if he manifested this match by what he wrote in his journal, but he's not complaining. He'll never complain about being attached to Louis. When they manage to pull away, Louis grips Harry's hand. "I see you were attacked by our professors too." He shows a similar plaster on his right thumb. "I still have no idea what that was about." "Who did yours?" "Sarah." Louis giggles. "I had Mitch. He didn't say a word to me, just pulled out a knife and sliced me." Harry laughs, rubbing his fingers over the familiar's injury. "I don't think I would have taken this whole thing so seriously if he was my assigned professor." Louis hums, entwining their hands. "What do we do now?" "I don't know. All of the professors are so secretive about all of this." Room? Harry tries. "Can we go to the party now? Or at least leave here so we can change?" "Are you talking to the room?" "What? Headmaster Cromwell's note said we only have to ask for when we need food. I don't see how we can't ask to leave the same way." Louis rolls his eyes and tugs on Harry's hand. "We can try the door first before we sound like a nutter." "Is this what being matched to you is going to be like? You judging me at all times?" "Yes." "Oh, okay then." Louis fights off a smile, but it peeks through at the corner of his lips. He turns the doorknob, and instead of seeing Harry's room or the hallway on the other side, music filters in. The dining hall has been transformed into a ballroom. Candles and jack-o'-lanterns float high in the air. A few tables have been decorated in blacks and oranges, with smaller cocktail-sized tables arranged around the edge of the room. In its usual place is the buffet filled with delicious-looking and smelling treats, sweet and savory, abundant. Just behind the buffet is a jack-o'-lantern the size of a large wardrobe. Harry stands there, gaping at the pumpkin. "Do they always have that out on Halloween?" "I honestly have no idea, but it looks wicked." "That is what matched you," Mitch says from behind them, causing both of them to jump. Once Harry's heart has stopped pounding heavily, he asks, "A pumpkin determined our matches?" "That's the very first jack-o'-lantern, lit by one of the first witches," Mitch continues, looking quietly proud of himself for scaring them. "The first witch and familiar pair used blood magic to preserve it, and now it's used to help pick matched pairs." "Is that why you sliced me open?" Mitch hums and nods. "See you two in class." He gives them a wink and goes to join the other matched professors who look proudly on at the new pairs. "Wow," Harry says softly as they turn back to the room. "I can't believe we made it here." "Believe it, Harry, and now the hard work begins." As they fully step into the room, Harry looks down when he feels his clothes shift and change. His outfit from yesterday melts into a black pantsuit with silver stars and specks glittering the fabric. Louis is in a gray and burgundy outfit completed with black suspenders. "Want to grab some food?" Louis asks. "Please, I'm starving." While they walk over to the buffet, they wave to matched pairs they recognize and a few of their professors. Even Polly is in attendance with their arm wrapped around their familiar. The healer lifts their glass in a toast and winks at Harry. Harry has to duck his head to hide his wide smile. He's so happy with how things have worked out for him, for them. He's part of a them, a pair now. He doesn't know what the bonding process looks like, and he's sure Mitch, Sarah, and David will keep tight-lipped about it like everything else, but Harry's excited to learn. "Oh, look," Louis says, lightly touching Harry's arm to grab his attention. The familiar points across the room as a new matched pair enters. Niall and Zane, both of whom look a little disheveled. "Oh my, Merlin, did they?" "They definitely did," Louis laughs. "I, unfortunately, know that look quite well on Zane." The familiar in question wears a very satisfied expression and walks in with extra swag in his step. Even Niall looks extremely pleased with himself, with bruised lips and a bright grin. "They're going to be insufferable, aren't they?" "I don't know, Harry. I think we can beat them." Before Harry can reply, he feels Louis take his face gently in his hand and pull him down to meet Louis's lips in an earth-shattering, heart-melding kiss. It's no more than a simple brush of his lips and a swipe of a tongue, but it feels so much more to Harry. Something to his right explodes as he feels fragments fall down on them. Harry pulls away to see pieces of watermelon covering both of them and a few innocent bystanders. "I'm so sorry," he cringes. He quickly mutters a cleaning spell to get rid of all the sticky fruit, all the while Louis cackles, looking very pleased with himself. "Come on," he continues, grabbing Louis with one hand and their shared plate with the other. "Let's go, before we cause more problems." Louis leans in closely and whispers, "We'll need to cast several protection charms the next time, won't we? Especially when I get my hands on you." "Stop," Harry hisses, when their wine glasses floating by themselves start to rattle. "You're going to be a real menace." Louis doesn't answer, but smiles mischievously at him. As they settle in for a night of celebrating not only their new matched witches and familiars, but also Halloween itself, Harry begins to mentally place Louis in his life. Sitting on the velvet couch in his hideaway, arguing over what they'll use as each other's talismans, comforting each other during stressful times, celebrating victories large and small, and everything in between. He knows they have a long, difficult journey ahead of them. But what a journey it will be to spend together. He can't wait. This has been Spinning Out Waiting For You by A Moment of Love on AO3 or Dagger and Rose on Tumblr. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Podfic Pals. I have been Emu. You can find us at podfic-pals.tumblr.com or archiveofourown.org/users/podfic_pals. Thank you, and until next time.